the station of the stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Red. I feel happy. Sorry, I mustn't do that. This is Postcard from Pop Red, your alternative news programme, with me, Eric Wiltshire, bathed in the glorious sunshine of the Tatras. I've got sunburn on my left and right kneecap, you know. Go, doctors. Someone's trying so desperately not to laugh. over in he's in Spain at the minute. That's caused grief. It's Lee Banks.
It's me, and I'm in the sun too, and I've just been swimming. I've just been swimming in my private pool. Ha 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 ha. And I'm now sucking a melon.
I don't wish to go there. Not from Queensland anymore, but from the death city of Oz. It's Rachel!
Hello, I'm not dead, and the sun's shining here. It always shines, it doesn't do anything else, and it's always 30 degrees, and the woman on the television who says, tomorrow it's going to be 32 degrees, wants to kill herself, because she never gets to say another number.
Is that right? Well, that's cold. Mm-hmm. If it's 30 degrees, it's freezing.
Well, it is freezing. I'm sorry, Rachel. It's 138 here.
That's in old money. Don't be silly. Grow up.
Yeah, and this is 32 degrees in winter, you silly billies.
You silly billies.
You can't tell me to grow up. Between us, we're 148.
That's probably true. Very likely true as well. Joining us on the programme, we're going to have to make him a jingle soon. He's been here so many times. It's Ricky Sharma. Hello, Ricky.
Hi, guys. How are we doing? You all right?
We're all right. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, the quick update is Ricky's sister went to a hospital in Essex, was given some drugs, then given the same lot of drugs again, which was enough to kill a horse. We've been looking at the problems. And before we go any further, Ricky, I have one question for you.
Yep.
Ready? Have you had a letter from the hospital?
No.
Lee, would you like to take up the story?
Well, yes. Hiya, Ricky.
Hi, Lee.
Right. Let's put it this way. Eric will fill us in with the details, but we've had a number of people approach the show since last week, since we mentioned the problems at the Queen's Hospital in Essex. And today, I phoned up the hospital. I spoke initially to one of the complaints administrator, I think she's called, who quite rightly said that she wasn't really in a position to discuss something for publication on the air, but did say, and listen to this, I'm amazed, that when I mentioned Ricky Sharma's name, who's actually following things up for his sister, she said, oh, yes, that rings a bell, which I thought was very nice of her. So actually,
oh, gosh.
Name?
Gosh. Does that mean?
Yeah. No,
gosh.
No, really.
No, I think that's all right. That's all right. Right. Okay. So after you went to the complaints officer, where did you get thrown to then?
I got sent to a lovely young lady called Emma James, who was described as the press officer. Now, most press people get handed over to the press office.
Yes.
Now, we explained the situation to her about Ricky's problems or his sister's problems and what Ricky's trying to find out. And she said she couldn't really deal with it, so she passed us on to the external communications officer.
Oh, my God.
Hang on.
Let's just think about this a minute, Lee.
Yeah, all right.
That's three people all taking wages from the National Health Service.
Who couldn't talk to me?
Yeah.
Well, one of them did. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Right, go on.
Does it funny?
Right.
If there's ever going to be anything funny come out of this story, Ricky, this is funny. So, yeah, do you want me to carry on? Is that you just greeting me with silence?
No, we're greeting you with silence, but carry on.
Yeah, so we phoned Nicola. Now, Nicola, according to the way she presented herself, and I have no reason to doubt it, is an extremely experienced press officer. She's been round the block, so to speak, and it said that she'd worked on national newspapers and knew exactly what was going on. So I explained the circumstances of Ricky's dilemma to her, and also that we'd had a number of complaints about what has been described as poor care at Queen's Hospital in Essex, and it's up to them. Now, Nicola, who I thought I was getting on really well with at first, was quite excited, and this is what she said to me. She said, I've never been put in this position before. I said, what do you mean? She said, you've given me 20 minutes to come back with you for a quote on an unspecified series of complaints. I said, well, actually, what we're asking is for you to say, all I'm doing is giving you the chance, Nicola, to say something along the lines of, if you furnish us with details of the complaints, we will look into them and get back to you. Thank you for calling. Your call is important to us. At which point, she hung up on me. Eh?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Well, actually, Nicola, I've never been hung up on by a press office before. But just before she did hang up on me, amazingly, what happened was she stopped her rant, or my rant, somebody's rant. I think there was a bit of a rant going on. Could have been me, could have been her.
Yeah.
Right? Saying that, hang on, I just had a message from the first person mentioned saying that, Ricky, you've had a response to all your questions from the medical director of this hospital. It's 3 pages long, and so she doesn't know what we're complaining about. And guess when it was done?
Mm-hmm.
The 6th of August. How many days ago was that? Two?
Well, no. To be fair, it's the 9th today, so that's 3 days. We'll allow a day for post, first-class post, we assume. Ricky, have you got a letter from the hospital?
No, I haven't.
Then something's not right somewhere.
Well, to be fair to them, I've got to be fair, because we, you know, in these circumstances, you have to try and find something to be fair about. And if
that's the problem of being a licensed radio station. Otherwise, I could say what I want to say.
Exactly. Anyway. So could I. But yeah, no. To be fair to them, it's about, what is it, Ricky? It's about a month since you made your initial complaint to them, isn't it?
Roughly, yeah.
So I reckon, if in fact, you know, the 6th of August is about a month since you made that complaint, and a month for a hospital to come up with some sort of reasoned explanation of what happened and why isn't bad. So we've got to take them on face value, and it just fell a bit awkward for them and sounds a bit
naff.
Naff, that's a good word. You know, I actually said naff at the same time as you, but you spoke over because you're late.
Now, Ricky, just out of interest, and without mentioning patient names, please, you did what I did, or what I asked you to do, which was challenge you to go out and find some other patients who've had similar problems.
Yeah.
Can you just sort of precis the, without going into the whole stories, just precis some of the stories you've had so far?
Well, yeah, I put out a couple of messages on numerous social networking, got numerous responses, but two of them in particular come out to me, and they were really sort of stuck out, quite shocking, really. One of them, actually, someone's, well, without mentioning people's names then, as you state.
Yes, please.
Someone, due to misdiagnosis, someone's son had to have one of his testicles removed.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, that really, I mean, me being a father myself, that literally just put shivers down my spine.
I'm serious. The hairs on my arm have just stirred up. That is despicable.
Yeah, I mean, their case, it was August 2010. If I've had a response in a month, I mean, he got a response 6 months later, which is still... and that was back in 2011, and he's suing the hospital at the moment. It's obviously 3 years later.
Right, be careful. Do not mention any names.
I'm not mentioning names.
If there's a legal case on board, we don't want to mention any names.
I think we do on all of these. We need to allow the hospital to be able to reply to everything this.
More importantly, we'll want anonymity for the patients.
Absolutely.
What was the other one, Ricky?
The other one, that was back in 2009, August 2009. An individual was pregnant, her waters broke, she went to hospital but then was sent home because she wasn't contracting, but then she caught an infection, and then she gave birth to her daughter the following day and then passed that infection on to her daughter, who then spent a week and a half in the intensive care fighting for her life. And all this could have been avoided if they'd just literally sort of given her due care and sort of attention and kept in and looked after her. Just imagine what they're going through, you know, in terms of, like, you just given birth to your first daughter and then you potentially sort of could lose.
Okay, Queens, let's hope you're listening to this, because if you're not, I should fire your press office, because that would just be ludicrously. Ricky, I want to change tack slightly. Can you just, how's your sister, mate?
Well, it's a slow recovery. She's on the mend, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
But it's slow recovery. As I say, it sort of wasn't helped by the situation, but it's a slow recovery. But yes, she's on the mend. She's moving forward. Yeah.
Good. That's more important than any hospital arguments or anything else. Your sister's getting better. That's the most important thing. Sorry, Lee, you were trying to jump in.
No, I was just two things. One thing, like I say, on everything we've said, there's nothing wrong with what we said, but we do need to make it clear that we're happy for the hospital to come on and
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, explain.
If they want to come on, they're very welcome. We'll give them the studio details. They can come on and answer the questions quite openly, and we'll let them have their say. Absolutely.
Do you want to hear something that the hospital plays to its patients?
Oh, not that dreadful music.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. I think it's amazing. We'll see if it works. If it's rubbish, we'll turn it off. But ladies and gentlemen, when you phone up Queen's Hospital in Essex and you're put on hold, this is what you hear.
Oh. Oh, Lee, turn it off, for goodness sake. Just turn it off.
I'm going to add that on my phone.
Lee, you're too close to your microphone. Move back a bit. That is just appalling. Ricky?
Yes.
Ricky, I know it with another hat on. Don't you think it would be appropriate for you as a professional musician to write a piece of music and give it to the hospital for their holding music?
Brilliant idea.
I should do that. I'll get in studio straight away then.
Right, good idea, mate. Something calming and tranquil, because they're going to take a long time to get anything answered. So we need some sort of Inuresque type music, just to get them all chilled out and relaxed and calm and happy while they're on the phone for hours waiting. Ricky, if this letter actually does turn up, and I'm praying it does turn up because I would be appalled if it wasn't to turn up, can you let us know next week on the show? And I would also urge Queens to come on the show next week, because if you don't, then Ricky will have this letter and he will have right of reply to the letter live on air. Fair enough, everybody?
That's good fine. Idea. And yes. I'll give Nicola Reeves a chance to hang up on me again.
Yeah.
You just want to get some more of that hold music into you, aren't you?
That's what it is.
No, in all the years I've been doing this job, I've never actually had a press office hang up on me.
I can't think of any.
And the simple fact is, all she had to say is the thing that you learn as a textbook about PR, just to say, thanks for calling, we'll get back to you, we'll look into it and get back to you.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, can you? That's just basic laws of press office. I think we're finding the hole in this one for you, Ricky.
Brilliant.
Okay, mate. Listen, thank you ever so much again. Please pass my love from all the team here onto your sister and the kids as well. Give the kid give the kids a hug, because they're as important as anybody else, for sure. And, you know, rest assured, Ricky, we will not give up.
We won't.
Have a lovely weekend, Ricky. You take care. I'll see you soon, mate. Take care.
Best take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, mate. Bye-bye. That's Ricky Sharma there, whose sister didn't get all the treatment she wanted. We are trying to get the hospital to come in and say something, but they're doing like modern PR people are doing, burying their heads in the sand. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very dangerous. I think I should... Do you know what, Lee? I reckon we should write a PR course, you know.
Well, I don't think that's a bad idea at all, because PR is very, very simple. All you do is dodge everything, don't upset anybody, don't get in a confrontation, and don't really say anything, and you will survive in that job forever!
Yes, indeed so. Ladies and gentlemen, it's kind of a sad start to the programme, and I'm going to hand the reins over to Rachel next, because... to a lot of people, and I say this with great respect to Bob, a lot of people outside of the media industry won't know who Bob is. To me, he's a guy that worked on an amazing radio station in Ireland that was put together by Chris Carey, who is, if there's a second level of God, then Chris fits in there because he was just an amazing man to ever meet and to talk to, and his passion for radio was second to none. I don't think anybody could ever question that. And Bob worked with him on Radio Nova in Ireland, along with lots of other people. And Bob was just one of those guys that everybody kind of liked. And we don't know him, but boys and girls, just take note of what Rachel's saying, because this is a guy that devoted his life to entertainment and radio and media and stuff, and was probably a bit of an unsung hero in many ways. But to us in the media business, Bob was a real good egg. Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
He was. I met Bob through Henry O'Donovan at Bondi Tunes. And Bob and I got to talking on Skype one day. He said, "Let's chat on Skype. I want to talk to you about your popping in your microphone," which was Bob down to a T.
You better explain that, Rach.
When you use the letter P, you need to either have the right equipment for your microphone or be a certain distance from it so that you don't actually pop into the microphone and put like that.
Yeah.
So he wanted to talk to me about that because apparently my mic technique was subpar. And he wanted to coach me. He wanted to coach me. He was being nice. He wanted to coach me because he liked what I was doing and he thought he could enhance my performance by removing my pop. So we got to chatting on Skype and discovered that we had, even though we have a vast age difference, we had a lot in common.
Right.
And then Bob and I started, I had my own show at that point, and Bob and I would do a weekly chit-chat and it would go on for maybe 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then I would have to edit it down. But he was generous to a fault. He had an encyclopedic knowledge of Hollywood and all that side of the universe, and of course of broadcasting and the other side of the universe. He was just the most generous and kind and amazing spirited man that I had ever come across. And he was never tired, and he told me, he said, "I won't ever step away from behind my mic. I won't ever stop working. They'll have to drag me out the building." And he was really just a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
I got an email from him not that long ago, telling me that he was unwell. And I knew that that was his way of saying goodbye to me. And I replied, and I can quote you, I replied, "Remember that you are loved and you are beloved." Mm. And he said, "That means a lot." And that was the last we actually communicated with each other, but he was a very generous spirit. He had so much experience, so much knowledge, but he would take the time to sit with you and talk with you for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And he became a mentor, and I looked up to him a lot, and I learned a lot from him in the few years that I knew him. But it was a big loss to me when I read, and I found out in the most terrible way. I read it on Facebook and it broke my heart the other day. But you know what? There's been so many lovely tributes to him on stations all over the place, and he deserves every single one of those.
Let me butt in, because I'll tell you one thing. He and Tony Allen, who was also at Nova and very many other places, who was equally a wonderful person. Bob and Tony will be together now, so they will be laughing their socks off at us lot down here. and they will both be criticising us. And Tony, I'm sure, will criticise my microphone technique regularly, but always in a nice way. So there'll be a gentleman called Howard Rose. Chris is there. Bob, Tony Allen. It's a hell of a radio station up there, I tell you that.
Chris is up there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going off up there. They're getting it organised.
Oh, I'll tell you what, they'll have an offshore radio station up there working like a trooper. It'll be wonderful.
Can I just, secondly.
So to anybody that's still down, and to Bob's family and everybody else, don't forget he's got a lot of good friends around him where he is now. And I tell you what, they'll be having a gas. It's us lot that's the miserable ones. They'll all be having a ball up there, I'll tell you.
Bob wouldn't want us to. Bob would want us to get on with it and get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was actually talking to the radio magazine today about Howard Rose, who was the biggest driver of that in the early years, until we sadly lost him. And I have to say, it would be the same from Howard. He would not want any of us to sit around sort of... I'd get a clip round the ear. For goodness sake. Goodness sake. Anyway, Lee.
Yeah, just a brief one, because the same as Eric, I didn't particularly know Bob, but I knew of him because of what he did. And it was just interesting to note, and not many people have mentioned it, that Bob was actually the son of Paul Gallico, chap who wrote the Poseidon Adventure and one of the most moving wartime stories ever, The Snow Goose.
Yes.
And... I did my own little tribute to Bob, which obviously it wasn't greatly in depth because I didn't know him, but very simply, Bob said that because of his father's success as a Hollywood writer, etc., he didn't want to be a writer. He actually wanted to be a performer, because I guess in those circumstances you couldn't particularly take on your father's fame. And he made films, he did everything. He was a good egg. And he continued, like Rachel said, right until the end, like a hero, a true performer. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to say, yeah.
Okay. Also this week in the Real Gone Kids section, it's American jazz musician George Duke, who was a keyboard player with Frank Zappa. He died at the age of 67. Margaret Sad. Pellegrini, who was one of the last surviving munchkins from the classic film The Wizard of Oz, as they died aged 89. And hold on a minute, boys and girls. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Born to be wild.
In Eric's case, born to be mild.
the actress Karen Black has died. She was European, come Bohemian, come Norwegian, well, all sorts of things. Lived in Los Angeles. She's died after a lengthy fight with cancer, and she just was the most amazing actor, and in one of the most amazing films ever on the planet.
And don't miss out Five Easy Pieces with Jack Nicholson. That was a stunning film.
Not compared to Easy Rider.
In its own way it did. And she was, you know, she was the spitting image of my second wife. I think I married my second wife because of Karen Black, because I can't say the words because I can only think of rude words.
No, don't.
Feelings. I had feelings for Karen Black. Yeah.
Or as the song goes, don't bogart that joint, my friend. Hand it over to me. What a wonderful movie. Absolutely wonderful movie. If you've never seen Easy Rider, go hire it from somewhere, buy it from somewhere. You've got to have it in your collection. It's just amazing. And then I always cry at the end when the bikes get blown up. Serious notes again, boys and girls.
That was a cop-out at the end of that film. I've always said that.
It was. It was a cop-out.
Yeah, they just couldn't think of how to end it. No. They were bored and off their whatever they were off. And they thought, just shoot them.
Just blow them up.
I think they ran out of money.
Well, yeah, actually, you could be right there. There's been a tragic case in the UK of a young girl who was stalked, I will use the term stalked, by these so-called internet trolls, mainly from America, it would appear to be. This young girl, Hannah, is 14 years old, was on a service called Ask FM, which to most people is a British service. It's not.
My daughter uses it.
It's actually based in Riga, in Latvia. David Cameron, the English Prime Minister, has asked for people to boycott the service because of the end result of young Hannah committing suicide, which is tragic. It is tragic. David Cameron urged parents and teenagers to boycott what he described as the hateful and vile websites like Ask FM. Ask FM were actually on television this morning with a reporter going in there trying to get to talk to somebody, and they didn't want to talk to anybody. Why am I not surprised? And it's a pokey little building in Riga. and he's not British. I want to make that point very clear. It is not a British service. It's all in English, but it's not a British service. So don't start blaming the wrong people here. The Prime Minister wants all the internet services to clean up their act. Nothing wrong with that. But I have to say, parents, anybody who's got kids, when my Caroline was here last week with us on the show, and thank you for all the lovely comments about her being on the show, by the way, the fact is I was still coaching her, she's nearly 19, on what to do and not to do when you go online. I know these services are there. I know there are things, cyberbullying going on. I know there are lunatics. And do you know why I know that? Because I'm the guy that had the stalker for 6 years. I know what it's like. It is horrendous. This kind of approach, attitude, abuse is not new, and it's not the fault of the internet. It is not the fault of the internet. It's just another way of doing it. So please, please help your kids. Don't use Ask FM as an unpaid babysitter. Don't use Ask FM as a way of sitting watching the telly and not having the kids interrupt you. Use it wisely and learn about it yourself so you can coach your kids. That's my message.
The only protection you can offer your children in cases like this is vigilance.
Yes.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, I have a teenager, so I can relate specifically to this particular issue. But a lot of times even the vigilance isn't protection enough because they hide things so very well. I'm lucky enough to have a relationship with my child that is really open in dialogue. So if she's being bullied, et cetera, she comes directly to me and we address it together.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, she used Ask vigorously until she heard this story and she cancelled her account.
Good girl.
So she did that without me prodding her to do so, and I'm really proud of her for doing that. And now she's started this thing around school. I want all my friends to get off Ask. And this is about a story that happened across the other side of the world to her. So that's an enormous step forward. But vigilance is the only protection for them.
Lee, I'll let you come in on the last minute.
Right. Okay.
Hannah's father has actually called for the trolls themselves to face murder or manslaughter charges. I don't have a problem with that, and I very much agree with it. That's been twisted in a lot of cases to say the site themselves should be up on murder charges. All I will say to that is when a Ford motor vehicle or a General Motors or whatever else kills somebody with another driver at the wheel, you don't go after Ford. Number two, when Smith & Wesson gun kills somebody, you don't go after Smith & Wesson. What you do is you educate people better. So I'd rather get on the education scheme, boys and girls, rather than the I want a manslaughter charge. Lee?
Fair point, yeah. But in a different way, different aspects of it, these sites are dangerous, no matter how you look at it. And one thing that has happened, and I'm very pleased to hear it, are that major advertisers, and there are some major advertisers on that site because it was getting to 52 million people, have actually started to withdraw their advertising. And the thing is, for 52 million people, this place had less than 50 administrators watching what was going on. And really, so if they are allowing people across the world to attack somebody and not even noticing it, then they should be looked at. I'm not saying they should be brought criminal charges against them, but they should be looked at.
That's the end of part one, a postcard from Pop Rabbit. We'll be back in faster than you can make a milkshake.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.